even though it's not a double parsha, we'll learn it. We'll learn it. Ke'ilu, it's a double parsha. All right. So this past Shabbos we had Tazria. How many pesukim were in Tazria?
61.
Short parsha, no? How many?
61.
67, I thought.
67,
I think. And Tzora, this week's parsha, Yitz Hashem, has 90 pesukim. All right, we have to think about it. These are parshios that get us ready for Pesach. They help us to remove all of the negaim, all of the unholiness of our life. Chametz in many forms. All right, so let's start on page Kuf Chav Dalet, on the second paragraph where it says Venira Li Od, Venun Lamed Od, in the left column, page Kuf Chav Dalet. Okay, the Rebbe is commenting on the first pasuk in Tazria, Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor. What's Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor? Now, the truth is that pasuk appears all over the place. But the Rebbe gives us, he reveals a secret in the word Lemor, which you could use anytime you see the word Lemor. He reveals a secret to us. It's a very relevant secret. You'll see why in a second. He says that Tzaras, you have to understand, Tzaras is not leprosy, Aleph. Right? Tzaras is a spiritual illness that the Chafetz Chaim writes in Shmiras HaLashon, we don't have today because we're not worthy of it. Realize that for a second. It was actually, as much as Tzaras is a serious punishment, but it's a sign that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is communicating with you. Chafetz Chaim. He said we shouldn't feel that, you know, that we like outgrew Tzaras in a good way. We're not on the worthy to have direct interaction with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives. That's what Tzaras was. Tzaras was cause and effect. You do an Avera, and you see a response immediately. That's an unbelievable thing. But Tzaras is a very deep thing. The whole world of Nega'im, the world of Tzaras, what the Torah calls Nega'im, is a very deep thing. The Svarim HaKadoshim, it's rooted in Kadmonim, in very early sources, that there's nothing higher in terms of pleasure than Oneg, Ayin, Nun, Gimel. And there's nothing lower in terms of spiritual illness than Nun, Gimel, Ayin. Right, Nega. Nega Tzaras is the lowest. In a certain sense, it's the worst. We take a person who has Tzaras, we say, get out of here. Badad Yeshev. Go sit by yourself. Michutz L'machere Moshavo. Go get out of the camp. You're not part of Klal Yisrael. It's very serious Tzaras. So Nega, Nun, Gimel, Ayin is in a certain sense the lowest punishment. And Oneg, right? True Oneg is the highest form of Tanug, of pleasure. Okay, so says our Rebbe, V'nira li od b'tevas lemor. So now Moshe is being told, V'yadav Hashem Moshe lemor, Dabra el b'nei Yisrael, go teach b'nei Yisrael about Tzaras. Now, when Moshe understood Tzaras, presumably b'nei Yisrael understood it on a different level. It's a very deep thing, Tzaras. It's hard to explain what it is. So says the Rebbe, Lemor means humi lashon imra. Lemor, Aleph Mem Resh, can mean to say. Sometimes Aleph Mem Resh has expression of love, like the French word for love, interestingly enough. But imra means what? Imra means the edge of a garment. Imra is what they do at the edge of a garment to ensure that what? That the threads don't fray. Right? You need to create an imra, right? Hametzamtzem asabeger. You need to create something that's going to hold the beged together. Metzamtzem means to contain the beged. Right? You can't have loose threads at the end. You have to have a hem. You have to have an imra. So the hem of the garment is what's metzamtzem asabeger. It holds the beged together. So if that's true, Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe lemor. Hashem says, Moshe, listen, here's how this works. I'm going to teach you Torah, and I need you to teach it in a way that is contained, meaning teach it in a way that's understandable. This is a very, very appropriate vart for us to learn in preparation for Pesach. Because the whole avodah of Pesach, at the Seder is what? Is Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, to tell the story. But the goal of telling the story, it's not to say fancy divrei Torah, right, that your second cousin won't understand, right? Or not to wax poetic about, you know, your political take. It's the Seder, the goal of the Seder is Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. In fact, what does it say in the Haggadah? V'afilu kulanu chachamim, kulanu navonim, kulanu zakenim. Even if you're a chacham and you're a navon, you're a zakin, you're a big talmud chacham, yoyidim es ha-Torah, you're a ben yeshiva, you have a lot to say. Mitzvah leinu l'saper b'yetzias Mitzrayim. You have a mitzvah to tell the story. So let's ask a simple kasha. Rav Elia Lopian asked this question. Rav Matisyahu Salomon Zatzal, the Lakewood Rosh Yeshiva, and his Haggadah Shel Pesach, brings this from the great Mashkiach, Rav Elia Lopian. Even if you're a big chacham, you still have to do Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. However, of course you do. It's a mitzvah. That's like saying, even though you're a big chacham, you might think a big chacham doesn't have to wear tefillin anymore because he's such a big chacham, kamash v'lan, he should still wear tefillin. Well, what is this line in the Haggadah? Even if you're really smart, you still have to tell the story. Of course you do. Would we have that half a meet about anything else? Now that you're so smart, you're exempt from shaking a lulav. You're exempt from blowing shofar. We would never consider such a thing. So what does the Haggadah remind? What's the Haggadah say? You should know that even if you're really smart, you still have this mitzvah. Of course you do. It's a mitzvah in the Torah, mitzvah 21 of the 613, according to the Chinuch. Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Of course you do. Rav Elia Lopian said, no. What the Haggadah is saying is you might think that as you get smarter, you have to tell the story in a fancier way. You have to try to explain things al pi Kabbalah. You have to explain the lumdus of the Haggadah. You have to try to say deep divrei Torah, right? Deep in pnimius or deep in you know be'iyun. You have to say a whole shtickle Torah. So no. Afilu kulanu chacham. If you're really smart, even if you have a really smart divrei Torah to share at the Seder, save it for lunch. Mitzvalinu l'saper b'yisias Mitzrayim. The goal is to what? Is to tell the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Tell the story. Try to make it real. Close your eyes and try to tell the story. Don't get lost in anything fancy. Save the fancy stuff. You should know the fancy stuff. Yeah, okay, so you remember. Yeah, you remember all the nice Divrei Torah. That's good. That's all good. All the calculations, the gematrias. You know that Karpas corresponds to Hod. Shkayach. Whatever. Leave that stuff on the side for now. And just try to close your eyes and feel the story. And I'll add to that, maybe that's the next line in that paragraph in the Haggadah. What do we say after that? So I thought a couple of years ago, that's not a statement about the quantity of how much talking you do at the Seder. It's not just saying whoever talks the most wins. It's not just saying whoever talks the most gets the biggest prize at the end of the night, who has the most successful Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Kol ha-marbe l'saper b'yetzias Mitzrayim. Whoever makes it most story-like, hareza meshubach. Kol ha-marbe l'saper. The more of a sipur you make it, the more you make it like a story, the better. So Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, when you're teaching Klal Yisrael about Tzaras, create an imra, create a hem. Teach it in a way that's what? That's contained. Because you could say all sorts of deep things about Tzaras, but Moshe Rabbeinu, tell B'nai Yisrael, if you speak Lashon Hara, you're going to get Tzaras. Keep it simple. Give it over in accordance with the person's ability to receive. That's mamish the essence of the Pesach Seder. I was walking to Shul Shabbos morning with a chaver of mine, and he said, you know, like I'm preparing different things for the Seder, but like it's hard to know what the vibe of the Seder is going to be until you get there. Like every Seder has its own feel, depends who's around the table this year. You know, just has his son just came back from Israel, and parents are coming, and his brother's coming. Different. You got to like feel it out a little bit. But that's called creating an imra. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe lemor. Moshe, I'm telling you deep things, but give it over in a way to Klal Yisrael that they can chop it. Ki bevada yefshar lomar shekol echad mi Yisrael hisig b'mitzvah time of a sodaka sagas Moshe mi pi Hashem yisparach ki lo yuchlo lisbol. Because certainly it's impossible to say that every Jew hisig, every Jew grasped this mitzvah with its explanations and its secrets in accordance with the hasaga, the grasp of Moshe Rabbeinu, the way that Hashem taught it to Moshe, ki lo yuchlo lisbol. No one could handle that. No one's on that level. But Yisrael can't receive it from Moshe the same way Moshe received it from Hashem. That would be ridiculous. Right? The job of the Rebbe is to give it over in a way in accordance with the madrig of the Talmidim. The job of the parent is to give it over in accordance with the way and the level of the child. So Hashem says to Moshe, make sure you give over the Torah to Klal Yisrael in accordance with their madrega. V'nitztava Moshe litzamtzem hadibur ba'amru hamitzvah liYisrael. Moshe was told, contain yourself. You have to hold back sometimes. You have to hold back sometimes. I'm always nispal from like these like, you know, like 70-year-old Talmidei Chachamim who teach first graders like in, you know, in Me'asha. It's like an unbelievable thing. Like, you know, these people like no Kol Torah Kula, and the biggest geschmack for them is to be able to initiate a young child into Limud Torah. They could give a high-level shiur. Right? You know how much tzimtzum they have to do? You know how much constriction, holding back they have to do in order to be able to give it over, to say Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, hey, to give it over in accordance with the child's level? That's an unbelievable thing. So Moshe wants so badly to give over everything, but Moshe, Hashem reminds Moshe, Moshe, you got to give it over in a way that Klal Yisrael can receive it. She yasid kol echa tam v'sod, rakafi kocho v'sichlo v'nishmaso. Give it over so that they can receive it in accordance with their strength, with their intellect, with their neshama. Bechdei shelo yizbatlu mimitziusam v'asagas yadam yaser mikocham. That they shouldn't, what? Be bottled by mitzias. You could cause a person's brain to explode. They'll cease to exist because you gave it over in a way that was bigger than their koach. Anyone know a story like that? Megillah Dav Zion. Rab and Rabbi Zera had a Purim Suda together. And Rabba got Rabbi Zera very drunk and he killed him. Lubavitcher Rebbe says it's not what happened. What really happened was Rabba, what does the name Rabba mean? The big one. Rabbi Zera, Zeira means the small one. Rabba had deeper ideas than Rabbi Zera could handle. And he got him drunk on such deep Torahs that what? He couldn't handle it. Right? He overdosed on Rabba's Torah. That's what it means, Rabba shechted Rabbi Zera. So a person has to receive Torah in accordance with their ability to receive it. So Moshe Rabbeinu, if Moshe Rabbeinu turns the, you know, the spout on, he turns on Torah on full blast, it's gonna the Klal Yisrael is gonna burst. They're not gonna be able to solve it. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hashem, I want to see you. Moshe Rabbeinu, you can't see me and survive. It's too much. Kenoda sha'afilu ha'malachim mishar se elyon. Mizbatlim mimitziusam bahasagasam yosr mikocham. Because even an angel, a halakha angel, says Zarebi, will cease to exist if it grasps something beyond its level. Very, very important in life. Chevra, you have to ask yourself, where am I holding? Am I challenging myself to learn on a level that's high enough for me? And am I not going too high to the point that I'm not getting anything? Right? You turn the water on a full blast, right? And you're trying to fill up a cup of water, so the water's just going to keep splashing out of the cup. It has to be able to enter the cup and stay in the cup. Right? Very important klal in life. Even an angel can't handle certain things. Who took us out of Mitzrayim? What are we going to say in the Haggadah? Aniva lo malach, aniva lo saraf, aniva lo ashliach. Hashem says, it was me. Right? I didn't send an angel. Why? Because an angel couldn't handle, in the negative sense, the tumah of Mitzrayim. In a positive sense, the angel also can't handle too much Kedusha, or it'll cease to exist. And neither can we. The Gemara says at Har Sinai, Hashem spoke, and what happened to us? What happened when God was speaking at Har Sinai? We died. Our neshamas flew out of our bodies. We couldn't handle it. So we said, Moshe, you take over. Why was Hashem teaching on such a high level? Hashem wanted us to get a taste of, you should know what it is, even if you can't handle it. And then Moshe will take over and give shir according to your level. But that's the var. So uveze yitzta gamkin daber el bnei Yisrael lemor. So listen to the first two psukim of last week's parsha. Listen to the first two psukim of Tazria. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe lemor. Can I just have a sitter, please? Daber el bnei Yisrael lemor. You hear what's happening? Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe. Hashem gave it over to Moshe, and he told him, Moshe lemor, make a hem, make a beged, make a tzimtzum. Moshe, contain the ideas in a way that's appropriate. And then Daber el Bnei Yisrael lemor. And Moshe, when you give it over to Bnei Yisrael, make sure that they know to also give it over to the next generation in a way that they can receive it. Again, there's a Yerida Sadoros. It's part of a reality. Shigam heim nitztavu al kocha. The Bnei Yisrael is also being taught the same thing. Shagodo belamdo lakotan. When an adult teaches a child, or when a person who's more advanced teaches someone who's less advanced, yitzamtze ma'inyan. Have the humility Not to just say it in accordance with your lofty level. Try to bring it down so the other person can receive it. That's the var. That's a very, very big part of Vihigadata Levincha, where the parent is supposed to transmit Torah and the Mesorah to the child on the Seder night, right? To make sure that we're doing it in a way that we're actually, that our Emunah is becoming enriched and our Bitachon is becoming enriched. And we know the story. Got to know the story well. There was a Yid who came to Lubavitcher, there's a video. There's a Yid standing by the Lubavitcher Rebbe getting a dollar right before Pesach. You can tell from the fellow. He didn't look like the most religious fellow, observant fellow. Right? Holy Yid, but not practicing so much yet. So the Rebbe says to him, you know, Pesach. So the Rebbe says to him, Do you know the four questions? He says, you have to give it over to your child, to your son. He says, do you know the four questions? So he says, Yes, Rabbi, I know the four questions. So the Rebbe looks at him, he says, and do you have good answers? Do you also have good answers? The guy's like, I hope so. I hope I have good answers. But you gotta ask the questions. You gotta ask the questions in accordance with where's the door holding? Where are people holding? What are our kashas? What are our terutz? What are our answers? Okay? But each generation you have to be sensitive how we transmit Torah. However, what's the first mission of Pirkei Avos? Moshe Kibel, Torah Misinai, Umisara Li Yoshua, V'Yoshua Lizakenim, Uzakenim Lenevim, Unevim Misarua Lanchiknesis Hagadova. Says the Maharal of Prague in his commentary on Pirkei Avos, pay attention here. Moshe was what? Kibel. He received. But then he gave it over to Yeshua. Right? What's the difference between being Makabal something versus being Masara li Yeshua? And then it doesn't use any verb, it just says Yeshua Zakanim, Zakanim Nevi'im, Nevi'im Masrua again, Lanchik Nasakadola. Right? So the Maharal works on this to figure out how much is a person able to receive. When Moshe was Kibel Misinai, did Moshe, he was Kibel the whole thing? He got the whole Torah? And then he gave it to Yeshua, Masara li Yeshua, in accordance with Yeshua's ability to receive, which was less than Moshe Rabbeinu. And then Yeshua to the Zakenim, Zakenim to Nevi'im. By the time he got to Anshei Knesset Hagadola, it's already again Masrua again. They gave it over again. Maybe there was a certain drop in Yerida Sadoros there. So again, you see that there's a sensitivity with which we transmit Torah. You have to ask yourself, you know, am I able to say it in a way that the person who I'm giving it over to is able to receive it? And that's what Hashem taught Moshe. Okay, again, you can use this vart any time. You have a pasuk Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe lemor. Moshe, make an imra, make a hem, make an edge to the garment to make sure that the idea is properly contained. Okay. Okay, Chaver, let's turn the page. Let's go to Kuf Chavav. This is a deep teaching. Two lines from the bottom on Kuf Chavav. Adam kiyeh v'or b'saro se'es. Two lines from the bottom of the right-hand column. Okay, when it describes the tzaraz, after we first are introduced, the first part of Tazria is when a woman gives birth, right? And the process of tumah and tara for a lady who just gave birth. But then, after that, we get into tzaraz, and it says when an adam has ba'or b'saro on the skin of his flesh se'es. Or sapachas, or baharas, different types of tzaras, different forms of tzaras, different discolorations, different appearances, different halachos. Okay. So our Rebbe wants to know the following question. Lama amar kan adam velo ish? Why does he use the word adam and not ish? How does the parasha begin? Vayedaber Hashem Moshe lemor, daber b'nei Yisrael lemor, isha ki tzaria. Right? It's the beginning of Parshas Tazria. So when it goes to Tzaraas, it should say, Ish, Kiyeb, or Besara. Why does it say Adam, Kiyeb, or Besara? Why use the word Adam as opposed to the word Ish? Question one. Question two. Vigam, Lama, Amar, Be'or, Besara. Why does it say, why does the Torah emphasize, it's clear where the Tzaraas is going to appear based on the description that continues to unfold in the Chumash. Why does it say that the Tzaraas appears where? Be'or, Besara. On the skin of his flesh. V'lo yaspik lomar bo. Why not just say that Adam kiyeh se'es bo? when he has se'es, when he has, se'es is a term for saras, when he has se'es in him, why do you have to say be'or besaro, on the skin of his flesh? So the Rebbe says a very deep thing, which you have to understand. When we're talking about nega tzaras, again, we're talking about an illness that really goes back to Gan Eden. We're talking about the opposite of what we said is what? The opposite of nega, flip around the letters, is oneg. Ayin, nun, gimel. Yeah? This is Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Beis. Gan Eden was a place of oneg. You know what oneg stands for? Eden, Nahar, and Gan. That's the description of Gan Eden. Right? What does the Chumash say? That a Nahar comes out of Eden, Lahashkos as a Gan. So Ayin Nun Gimel is Eden, Nahar, Gan. The greatest place in the world. The opposite of Eden, Nahar, River, and Gan, Garden, is Nun Gimel Ayin, Nega, Tsaras. Let's go back to the origins of Tsaras. Says our Rebbe an amazing thing. Vahanira, the top of the left column. Vahanira dihine kol hanigoim hei misitra deklipa mizuamas hanachash inishava al yedei chait adam v'chava. All nigoim, all forms of tzaras, spiritual ailments, they're all rooted in the sitra deklipa, on the side of unholiness, from the zuhamas hanachash. What's zuhama? The filth, the impurity of the nachash, which came about through the chait of Adam and Chava. V'yadua de b'toraso sh'Rabbi Meir hayakasuv kasnus or. We know that after Adam and Chava sinned, and they realized that they were naked, Hashem made them what? Coverings of skin. Kasnus or, garments. But in Rabbi Meir's Torah, it didn't say kasnus or with an ayin, which means skin, ayin vavresh, or, but it said or with an aleph, kasnus or. Garments of light. We have a tradition that Adam and Chava, before they sinned, they were radiant beings. Part of what we do when we hold our fingers up to the nair on Motzei Shabbos by Abdallah, and we look at this little nail, right? We remind ourselves that once upon a time there's an idea that Adam and Chava were almost entirely made out of nails, like a nail which is somewhat translucent. Adam and Chava were, in a certain way, almost like see-through. It was a radiance. We're trying to like remember what that looked like on Motzei Shabbos. In Rabbi Meir's Torah, it said kasnus or, garments of light. That's how we used to be, Chava, shining people. Shining, shining people. We're trying to get back to that on Pesach. We're trying to reset the clock. Right? Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. You know what the word sipur means? What's a sapir? Sapir, sapphire, shining, like the luchos. Illuminated. When we count Sviras HaOmer, Usvartem Lachem, you know what those words mean? Usvartem Lachem? Or Chaim HaKadosh says, don't just count for yourself. Usvartem Lachem. Make yourself shine. Usvartem Lachem. Sapir. Make yourself glow and shine. Become radiant again. What's the first word of Masechet Pesachim? First Mishnah Pesachim. Or, get back to the light. Start to shine again. Get the chametz out of your life and you'll see your neshama is lichtig. You're an illuminated person. You're a glowing soul. So look, says our Rebbe, Dekodem achet hayel la'odem be'emes kasnus or, shayegufo sapiri. Adam Arishon, before he sinned, was literally a garment of light. His body was sapphire. His body was shining, was radiant. Va'akevo micha galgal chama. And he was so bright that what? That even his akev, even his heel, would block out the light of the sun after experiencing an eclipse. You can only think about what that must have looked like. But Adam was so, the lowest part of, the Medrash is saying, the lowest part of Adam, the heel of Adam, the bottom, the lowest part of Adam, right, blocked out the galgal chama, the ball of the sun. It was so much brighter. Adam HaRishon was shinier than the sun. It's brighter than the sun. Wow. And such a body, such a person, such a body, before Adam was cursed with death, Adam was supposed to live forever. because such an illuminated person, such a body, right, was not destined, says our Rebbe, to chalaim, to chola, to illness, nigaim, was not destined to tzaras. Kihaya kechad min kamai, like an angel. Kechad min kamai, like one of the early ones, right? He was the Yetzir Kapo of Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who's Adam's father? Who's Adam's mother? Who made Adam? Adam didn't come from a person. Adam came from Hashem. Hashem made Adam. Right? It should have been forever. When Moshe Rabbeinu is at the end of his life, Moshe Rabbeinu, whose whole life is what? Is Ner Mitzvah, the Torah Or? Moshe lives in the light. Moshe's perfectly healthy. We don't think about this enough. Moshe on the last page of the Torah is perfectly healthy. You realize that? He's never been to the eye doctor? He doesn't have one cavity? There's a story like that with the Chafetz Chaim. I'm actually remembering now. The Chafetz Chaim once opened his mouth and told someone, he said, look at my teeth. They're beautiful teeth. The Chafetz Chaim said, because I don't speak Lashon Hara. My teeth are perfect. Yeah. So saying, maybe the Chafetz Chaim didn't eat so much sugar. The Chafetz Chaim said, no. You have to understand. Your body is a reflection of your relationship with Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu at the very, very end of the Chumash. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu is a healthy man. He's a perfectly healthy person. It's unbelievable. Moshe ben Meiv Esrim Shana B'Moso. Moshe's 120 when he died. And if you think he died because what? Because he was old and he was sick and he was Lo Chasa Eino V'Lo Nos Lecho. His eyes had not diminished. Perfect vision. Moshe Rabbeinu had perfect vision. V'Lo Nos Lecho. And his vigor, his strength had not waned one bit. He didn't lose a single bit of that spring in his step, like a young man. Moshe Rabbeinu is running around. Vayelech Moshe, the last day of his life, right? Parsha Vayelech. Vayelech Moshe. He's not walking with a cane. He's not walking with a crutcher. He's not being pushed in a wheelchair. Moshe Rabbeinu, mamish, perfectly healthy. So why did Moshe die? Why did Moshe die if he's so healthy? Why did he die? Why did Moshe die? Because Hashem told him you have to die. That's the only reason Moshe died. Hashem told him, you have to die. I command you to die. The Papa Rav from Montreal was a student, had a sheiches, was a chassid of Aaron LeBelzer. And when Aaron of Belz passed away, the Papa Rav said, I don't understand. I can't wrap my head around how Rav Aaron Le died. He was a malach. Tzadik, Kodesh Kadashim. He said, I couldn't come to terms with the fact. I couldn't grasp that Aaron LeBelzer had passed away. Papa Rav said, I didn't understand how he could die. He said, but then I realized, I asked myself the following question. I said, wait a minute, but Rav Aaron's father also died. Right? The third Belzer Rebbe also passed away. So then the Papa Rav said, so I see, it must be that the minug by Belz is to die. The minug by Belz is that eventually you have to die. So Aaron was just doing like his father's minog. He didn't have to die, but he died because that's the minog in Belz. You have to die. Eventually you have to die. I read this in a Haggadah, Shemin HaTov, speaking about the chashivas of every minog on Pesach. But Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have to die. Why did Moshe die? Moshe died because Hashem told him, you have to die. Chevra, if Adam behaves, Adam in Gan Eden and Adam each and every one of us, we're healthier people. We become healthier people. We live in a world of kasnas or, where our skin is shiny. I saw a Yid who came from Eretz Yisrael last night. I met this guy. In one second, I said, this guy's clearly from Eretz Yisrael. And he says to me, hi, I just arrived from Eretz Yisrael. I was like, I know, I could tell. He's like, what do you mean you could tell? So you're a shining person. You're an Eretz Yisrael dicker person. You could tell. He's got the Eretz Yisrael shine. So Adam HaRishon was a shining person. He was not subject to any illness. But once he entered into the world of what? Of the snake. Like a snake that sheds its skin. And the nachash implanted filth, impurity, spiritual impurity in Adam HaRishon. Oz nishava mikasnus or with an aleph, kasnus or with an ayin. Adam went from being or light to being or to being skin, to being flesh. Basar mamish chomri, he became physical flesh. Vaguf hachomri meusad chas v'shalom v'chulu, and a physical body is destined chas v'shalom to da da da. God forbid to illness, God forbid to death, right? The body weakens. But that's all a response to what? To not listening to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'nei Hashem Yisbarach nasan lanu ur ha-Torah. So what did the Kadosh Baruch Hu do to keep us afloat after Adam sinned? So now what? Now we just fall apart? Hashem says, I'll give you a way to bring the ur back into your life. And that's through what? That's through the ur of Torah. Uva'avur ha-Adam chas v'shalom al ur ha-Torah. When a person is over, when a person violates the light of Torah, az misra zuama ba'ur. So that reveals the what? The impurity of his or, of his skin, of his flesh. And therefore, this person who got saras for violating the Torah, now the pasuk is a very deep pasuk. What does the pasuk say? Adam, kiya ba'ur bisaro. You see what the pasuk is saying? Adam, kiaschalas inin azuama ha'isam adam rishon. Why is that? What was the Rabbi's question? Why does it call him Adam? Why not call him Ish? They called the Isha at the beginning of the parsha, Isha ki tazria. Why not call this guy an Ish? The answer is no. Understand the origins of Tsaras. Once upon a time, we were in a place called Oneg. Eden, Nahar, Gan. That was the world of Gan Eden. Now we're unfortunately in a world of Nega because we didn't listen to Hashem. And we shed that skin, the garments of light, and we exchange it for what? For flesh and blood, for physicality. And therefore, Adam, when a person all of a sudden gets saras, he should reflect on the fact, ki yeh be'or b'saro. He should reflect on the fact that he has or b'saro, that he has skin and flesh. Masha'en ken ilu haya kasnas or Torah mechayeu. However, if he would cling to what? To the or of Torah with an aleph, then the light of Torah mechayehu would what? Would sustain him, would give him life. This halich b'meisharim, it would set him straight again. Hashem didn't give up on us when he kicked us out of Gan Eden. He gave us a Torah that allows us to stay connected. Mamish a deep thing. Okay, so that's the secret of Adam, kiyeh, b'or, b'saro. Okay, go to the last piece on the Parsha. Last piece in Tazria. Page Kuf Chav Ches, the Medrash. Little chizuk for Lima Torah. Sometimes you're learning something and you're almost a little bit scared to learn it because I don't even want to talk about it. You know, like by the Tochacha. Right, we have a minhag that when we lay in the Tochacha in Parshas Bechukosar and Kisavo, we read it in a lower voice, read it a little bit more quickly. Usually we give the Aliyah to the Baal Kore. We don't call someone up special for that Aliyah because we're reading the curses of the Torah. The Chavetz Chaim in the Bir Halacha laments the fact that in some shuls, he said some people they were too scared, they wouldn't read the Tochacha. They would just like skip it. Chavetz Chaim is like, first of all, you're not allowed to do that. Second of all, you think what? You think if you close your eyes and pretend it's not there, then it's not going to be there anywhere. Chavetz Chaim gives a mashal, a person who's walking in a dangerous place and closes his eyes. That's not going to make it less dangerous, it's going to make it more dangerous. It can't even see where you're going. So keep your eyes open and understand what the message of the Torah is and be a better Jew. So the Chavetz Chaim says. So in a similar fashion, look at this Medrash. The Medrash says on the words Adam Kiya Ba'or, Mashal Lematronia, a matron, a noble woman, Shenechnasa Lesoch Palatin Shamelech. There was once a noble woman who entered the Palatin Shamelech, the palace of the king. Kevan de Chomes Maglavaya, when she was Chames, when she saw the maglavaya, when she saw the whips, she saw the straps, she saw the dungeon, she saw whatever was going on there, right, for the criminals, dachalas, she got very frightened. She said, maybe they're going to beat me up here. Right? She saw the armed guards, she got frightened. Amar leha melech, so the king said to her, Amar leha melech, the king said to her, Al tisyare, don't be afraid. He's like, I saw there was a, when I walked into the palace, there was someone holding a gun. Yeah, he's a guard. He keeps the bad guys out. No, that's not for you. Elu la'avadim l'shvachos. I saw a whip hanging on the wall. No, that's only for, that's for the servants and the maid servants when they're out of line. We whip them back into shape. Aval at, you're a noble woman. At lecho v'lishtos v'lismoach. You're here to what? To eat, to drink, and to rejoice. Says the Medrash, Kach kevan sheshama Yisrael parshas nigaim nisiyaru. When the Jewish people saw, they heard about Saras, this terrible, terrible spiritual punishment, They were very frightened. Amar lahem Moshe. Moshe says to Klal Yisrael, don't be afraid. Al tisyaru. Don't be afraid. Eilu l'umas ha'olam, aval atem lechol v'lishtos v'lismalach. Don't worry. The negayim, the suffering, that's really for the nations of the world. For you, it's to eat, to drink, and to rejoice. Now, Chaver, let's just first, Aleph, point out the irony of this medrash. Because who is subject to getting tzaras? Only Jews. Only, there's no such thing as tzaras by non-Jews. It's a spiritual disease. A non-Jew could have a skin condition, and should go to a dermatologist, right? But tzaras is a different thing. So what does the medrash mean? No. Tzaras, that's only for the Ummah Sa'olam. That's for the nations of the world, not for you. Again, we're talking about negam. We're talking about suffering. We're talking about any type of illness. We have to remember, as Jews, that whenever we're afflicted with anything, any type of nega, not just literally tzaras, which of course is only for Jews, but any type of suffering, we should know it's not because Hashem wants to whip us. It's not because Hashem wants to hurt us. Hashem doesn't punish us for the sake of punishing. It's all to be able to what? To pay off our misdeeds so that we can come to the Suda of Mashiach and eat and drink and rejoice. Kol ha-machal, the pasuk says, Kol ha-machal asher samti b'mitzrayim, lo asim alecha ki ani Hashem rofecha. All of the illness that I brought upon Mitzrayim, I would never bring upon you, because I am Hashem, your healer. First of all, Jews get sick. Aleph. Right? And if you're not bringing an illness upon us, then we don't need a healer. I don't need a doctor if I'm not sick. The answer is no. You're going to get sick, unfortunately. Lo aleinu. Sometimes Chas v'Shalom Jews do get sick. But it's not because I want you to be sick. The Rishonim of the world, they should be sick and they should stay sick and they should suffer. But you're Klal Yisrael. You're trying to make the world a good place. You're not the bad guys. If you get sick, it's only so that I can then heal you and hopefully you'll learn from the experience, you'll grow from the experience, and you'll rectify whatever impurities of your soul you have, and then weiter. Not because I don't like you. Ani Hashem Rofecha. I'm with you every step of the way to heal you. So therefore, says the Medrash. And it says our Rebbe, explaining this Medrash. Nirali didaik midaloksiv daber al b'nei Yisrael. What led the Medrash to say this interpretation? It's like a noble woman who comes to the palace, and she sees a whip, and she gets all scared. The king's going to whip me. No, that's not for you. Don't worry, that's for the troublemakers. That's not for you. And what led the Medrash to say this? Says our Rebbe, because it doesn't introduce tzaras with daber al b'nei Yisrael. The first part of the parsha, when a woman gives birth to a child, daber al b'nei Yisrael, lemor. All of a sudden, it shifts gears to tzaras, and it doesn't, Moshe's not told, daber al b'nei Yisrael, teach it to b'nei Yisrael. Why not? Moshe's clearly teaching us about tzaras. Why doesn't it say, teach it to b'nei Yisrael? Kamo b'chol makom, like it says everywhere else. Lezed diek. So says the Medrash, here's what happened. Dinei Yisrael nisyaru afilu milimud hilchos negayim. The Jewish people were afraid to even learn about these halachos. It's too scary. The whole thing is so scary. If I get tzaras, God forbid, the whole thing is so scary. I don't even want to learn about it. I don't want to close my eyes and pretend it doesn't even exist. The Jews were afraid to learn the negam. Shehi mile hakofetz es chas v'shalom afila yidei dibor. Because they were afraid that maybe we're going to cause it to happen by just talking about it. However, I told you before, when Ashes Potiphar was trying to seduce Yosef at Tzadik to commit a terribly sexually immoral act and she couldn't get him to do it, what did she say to Yosef? Leimor shechvayumi. She grabbed him by his garments, Leimor saying, sleep with me. Shechvayumi. Right? The student of the Ramchal, the Ramdu, Rav Moshe David Vali. Rav Moshe David Vali says, it's not just a pashup shot that she grabbed him by his garment in a seductive way, Leimor, as if to say, clear what she was trying to do. But she grabbed him and she said, Leimor, just say, Shechvayimi. Just say you'll sleep with me. We don't have to actually do anything. Chas v'shalom. She said, no, I know you're not going to do that. You're a holy Jew. You're not going to do that. Can we just talk about it? Because there's an understanding that the things that we talk about become our reality. When we talk Dibure Emuna, that's what the Seder at night is. He'emanti ki adaber. The more you say it, the more true it becomes. He'emanti, I believe it. Ki adaber, because I say it. However, when we talk about it, we say Baruch Hashem, we say Be'ezras Hashem, when we say Gamzu Latova, when we say Ein Ol Mavada, when we say thank you Hashem, these things make a difference in our life. On the flip side, when we say unholy things, it has a damaging effect. So sometimes Klal Yisrael is scared to even learn Torah about something that's scary. We were afraid to talk about Negayim. I don't even want to say that word. Right. There were tzaddikim who wouldn't say bread on Pesach. They wouldn't say the word bread. They say bread on Pesach. There were tzaddikim who didn't say rain on Sukkot. Don't say the gimel word, Geshem. Don't say Shana on Sukkot. It's a klala. Right? You have to remove it, to clean your mouth. They wouldn't even say it. So you might think, Klal Yisrael, we're afraid. What happens if we say what? If we start talking about Negayim, we're going to make it a reality. Like the Gemara says in Gittin, Ki alecha horagnu, eilu tamidei chachamim, hamarim hilchos negayim ba'atzman. The Gemara describes the fear of a tamid chacham who tries to teach negayim and he displays hilchos negayim on himself. He points to his own flesh and he says, oh, if here, like imagine if it, right? And he points to himself. And he, oh, if this patch of skin, if this hair would, right? That's bad. Don't use yourself as an example of tzarhas. Or why some people have a minhag, there's a minhag to fast before learning Maseches Chulin. You know why? Ever hear this minhag? Maseches Chulin teaches us the laws of Shechita. When you're studying Hilchos Shechita, among other things, right? So a person might say, oh, you have to shech the animal. And a Talmid Chacham might demonstrate it by pointing to his own neck and say, like, here, if shecht over here, point to it. Right? That's like a big ayin hara. Don't put your finger to your neck as an indication of shechita, God forbid. It could be a big ayin hara. Right? So out of a fear that Talmidei Chacham are marim hilchos negam ba'atzman, that they look, oh, this is tzaras. Point to yourself. Don't do that. So Bnei Yisrael were afraid to learn negam. They were scared to even discuss it. They were afraid to even learn it. So Moshe says to them, that's what this medrash is saying. Don't worry, learning about these things is not going to harm you. In fact, by learning about it, you'll deflect it away from you towards the Rishayim. Yes, it's true, tzaras itself can only happen for Jews, not non-Jews. But by learning the laws of tzaras, right, that'll be itself a shmira for you, and all of the tzaras, all of the troubles of tzaras, will fall upon our enemies. Behemu nekiyim lifnei Hashem, because you'll be clinging to the or of Torah again, the or with an aleph. Al kein lo amar dabri al bnei Yisrael, ki oso adibur lo yifol bi Yisrael chas v'shalom rak b'umos, and therefore don't direct it at Bnei Yisrael. Tell them they're allowed to study Moshe. Tell Bnei Yisrael they're allowed to study it. But don't daber al Bnei Yisrael. Don't speak it at Bnei Yisrael. Right? By Bnei Yisrael learning it, we're going to speak away all of our tzaras onto our enemies. Nothing bad ever comes from Limud Torah. Right? It deflects the scary thing that we're learning about onto those Sonei Yisrael, the enemies of Klal Yisrael, who deserve what they get. Okay? All right, Chaver, let's wrap up with just two final pieces. It'll do two pieces of Mitzora. Yeah.
Maybe we should explain again.
Yeah, again, it doesn't say, again, you have the Medrash, right? The Medrash says that the noble woman comes to the palace, right? And she sees scary things, and he says, no, that's not for you. Right? So the Rabbi says, how did the Medrash know this? Because when it introduces Saraz, it doesn't say, Daber al Bnei Yisrael. Usually, whenever Moshe is about to teach something, it says "Davar al Bnei Yisrael." Teach this to Bnei Yisrael, right? So why doesn't it say that? So Rabbi's kind of saying twofold. He's saying it didn't say that as a response. Bnei Yisrael were scared to learn it even. But the truth is, we're not "Davar el Bnei Yisrael." We're not right. Dabar also means to lead. We're not directing it at Bnei Yisrael. By Bnei Yisrael learning it, it actually deflects it away from Bnei Yisrael. It brings it upon our enemies. So Moshe is saying to Bnei Yisrael, don't be afraid to learn about Hilchos Saras. When a Jew learns Torah, that is a shmira from that thing. Right? That's what the Chafetz Chaim says. When a person learns Hilchos Lashon Hara, first of all, you know what you're allowed to say and what you're not allowed to say, so that's helpful. But more than knowing what you're allowed to say and not allowed to say, it also creates a spiritual protection of a person. Right? When you study Hilchos Shabbos, Hashem will help you to keep Shabbos better. Not just because you know how to keep Shabbos better. That's the pashup shot. If you know the laws, you know what to do. But if you learn Hilchos Shabbos, Hashem will see, oh, you take Shabbos seriously, I'll help you to make sure that you're able to keep Shabbos. Yeah.
So in Shema, when you say Becharaf Amunai, it should be
Yeah. We should say all of Shema out loud. It should be loud enough. He says that part, yeah? He says that totally. Interesting. Okay. All right. Listen, there is a certain truth. Again, ha'amanti yadav. But when we say something, we make it a reality. So we don't want it. Right? But if we're going to say it, we're not going to skip it. We're still going to say it.
Say it.
Go ahead. But one of the ways to say it is also to say with that kavana that by saying it, it's going to protect me from it. And Hashem should take these words and make them lamasa against the enemies of the Jewish people. Yeah. Okay, Chaver, let's do two final pieces. Okay, page Kuf Chav Tes. Let's go to Parshas Metzora, this week's Parsha. Okay, V'yatza HaKohen. On page Kuf Chav Tes, that's the first piece on the page. V'yatza HaKohen. It's Perek Yudali Pasuk Gimel. Okay, so a person has Saras. So you go, you get the Kohen. The Kohen maybe quarantines a little bit, and then we start to analyze the Saras. Maybe he'll determine it right away. Maybe he'll quarantine a second week, depending. Again, all sorts of different scenarios. But the Kohen is the one who determines Saras. V'yatza HaKohen V'ra HaKohen V'nei Nirpa Negat Saras Minatzrua. Now the Kohen goes out after this person has undergone the separation period. And the Kohen takes a look and he sees, oh, Baruch Hashem, he's getting better. Right? V'yatza HaKohen, the Kohen goes out. And what does he see? Chutz L'machana. He sees that the Tzaras is healing. Okay? V'nei Nirpa Negat Saras Minatzrua. It's a funny pasuk. That the neged saras is healed from the tsarua, from the one who had saras. A little wordy. Tevas nega miyusar lechor. First of all, why do you have to say negat saras? Just say saras. The Kohen goes and he sees that saras is healed. Why do you have to say the negat saras is healed? Second of all, v'gam min hatsarua. It was healed from the one who had saras, obviously. It wasn't healed from the guy who didn't have saras. It should just say that he goes out and he sees that saras is healed. Why did I say negat saras? Why did I say it's healed from the one who had saras? Ain lo beer, I don't understand it. Val pi mashakosav leel yunach, but based on what we've learned above, we can explain. Dinei saras mikri hamaka shebegufo begashmi. Saras, the word saras by itself, could be a medical condition. Saras by itself is a maka shebegufo begashmi. That's the physical part. That's the skin disease. What's the nega tzaras? As we explained, the nega is the spiritual element of it. Nega tzaras hu nigei ha-nefesh. That's the spiritual imperfection that's causing this illness. Shemikocham baha tzaras begufo. It's from there that the tzaras is coming. Lize amar kasher yira kohen. When the kohen sees ha-mevin shekvar nirpa nega tzaras al yidei tshuva. What's the kohen looking for? Says the pasuk. He doesn't want to just see that the tzaras is gone. The goal is not just to get this rash under control. You understand? The goal is to fix the nega tzaras, to fix the spiritual brokenness. Some even say when they get rid of their chametz, there's a little tefillah, that Hashem should help me to remove what? The nigei batei nefesh. Right? The illnesses of the not just my bias, not just my house or my dorm room, my apartment, but the chambers of my soul. They should be scrubbed clean of any chametz. So the Kohen comes to see, not did your tzaras go away? Did your negat tzaras go away? Did you do tshuva? Did you get the message? V'hainu, these next three words, nige batei hanefesh. Right? Batei hanefesh means the chambers of your soul. Have they been scrubbed clean? And that's what it means, min hatzarua. What does it mean when the Kohen comes to see if the tzaras has left the tzarua? The one who had saras. Of course, the one who had saras. What does that mean? Sharafua ba min hatsarua ba'atzmo. The healing doesn't come just by what? The healing's not through taking some type of medicine or some medicinal cream. The healing is not just give it time, it'll heal on its own. No. The healing has to come min hatsarua, from within the person. The person has to heal himself. How does he heal himself? Doing tshuva. By committing to be a better person. Tzaras comes from Lashon Hara. Tzaras comes, the Gemara says, from Ayin Ra. From a bad eye. From a negative eye. From looking at people with Tzaras Ayin. You know what Tzaras Ayin means? A stinginess. Why does that guy get the job? Why did that guy get engaged? Why does that guy have this in his life that I don't have? I'm being jealous of people. That's why I think about it. Where's the letter Ayin in the word Oneg? First letter, right? It's on top. Elevated. Elevated Ayin. Where's the Ayin in the word Nega? It's all the way on the bottom. Right? There's nothing, says the Sfarim HaKadoshim, there's nothing higher than Oneg, there's nothing lower than Nega. Where's your Ayin? Do you see with an elevated eye? Or do you see with a low eye? A low eye means I see someone else's success and I'm jealous of them. And then I speak badly about them. And then I get tzaras. So the healing has to come min atzerua ba'atzmo. Kasher yoshu b'yischaret, when he does tshuva and he has charata in a real way, that's mamish healing. Masha'en kein b'yoso osig b'rafuos tivios. But if he's only going to the doctor and he's dealing it with the natural ways, the rapi esagashmius, if he's just trying to fix the skin disease, right? The Torah says you could. The Torah says you're not allowed to, but the Torah implies that one could cut away tzaras. You could try to, you know, shave it down and just get rid of it. If you leave the nega tzaras, what's happening on the inside as it stands, it stands. If you don't fix it, zelo nirpa adayin, adasher yashuv al Hashem v'yachameyo. Then the person's not going to have a real healing. The real healing of tzaras. Chevra has to be what? Not just tzaras, nega tzaras. You have to fix the root of the tzaras. And that has to come min hatzarua. It has to come from within. So also, a chashuv teaching for us to learn. This Shabbos is Shabbos HaGadol. The Shabbos that leads us into Pesach. Right? Very nice, you cleaned up your whole house. But did you clean up yourself? Did you clean up yourself? I was in shul the other night and people were selling their chametz. So I said to Rabbi Neuberger, I was like the last one there. We were talking. So I said, Rebbe, I'll come back to sell the chametz next week. I said, I want to get my chametz in order first. He's like, oh, very nice. I like that. He's like, yeah, that's good. So like, that's good. People should get their chametz in order. I could just sell my whole house. You know, I could sell whatever chametz is here. Or I could try to clean up a little bit here. Let's get it together. Let's understand what's my chametz. What am I working on? What chametz am I throwing away forever this Pesach? That's really the vart. Right. What are the nige batei ha-nefesh that I want to be done with already? Right. Where are the holes in my soul that I want to try to patch up? It's a big thing. Okay. All right, let's try the next piece. Zos tia toras. Zos tia toras ha-metzora biyom taraso. It's the second pasuk in the parsha. Yud dalet beis. Zos tia toras ha-metzora. Okay, a famous teaching from the Maggid of Mezrich. This is a Gevaldic teaching, Chav. You got to know this one. It's very Pesachtik also. Ayin masha dikdaknu le'el. See what I spoke about above. Fine. V'yesh lefar shal pi masha amar harava kadosh Rav Dov Ber. Heilige Rav Dov Ber, the Maggid of Mezrich, zechus yigen aleinu. On the pasuk, zos olas chodesh v'chulu. Zos olas chodesh b'chadsho. At the pasuk in Bamidbar in Pinchas, Zos olas chodesh b'chadsho. There's different ways to approach ischadshos, to approach a chodesh. There's two different ways to look at time itself. And it's hinted to, says the Maggid of Mezrich, in the word zos. Okay? We may have seen this idea once before. Shebetevas zos, nirmaz beiz hanhagos, sheyeshtam bischadshos azmanim. There's two different hanhagos, two different ways in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu leads us through the renewal of time. Dihine yesh hanhaga hativis umisuderes mizayin yimei bereishis al kol asher nase tachas Hashemesh mikotan vad gadol kol yimei sevel. One way that the world operates is what is the natural order that Hashem arranged from the 7 days of creation. That's the Zayin of the word Zos. 7 days in a week. 7 years in a Shemitah cycle, 7 cycles of Shemitah in a Yovel cycle, sevens, the natural order. 8 is Lamala Mina Teva. 7 represents Seder within Teva. Everything that exists, he says, beneath the sun, from small to big, forever. That's one That's the natural cycle of life, which is predictable. You could have predicted the solar eclipse before it happened, right? I mean, some of us only woke up to it a week ago, right? But a scientist, they knew about it for a long time. It didn't like happen all of a sudden. So there's predictable patterns within nature. That doesn't mean that there's not a lesson within the patterns of nature, but there's predictable ways in which Hashem runs the world. We expect the sun to rise and to set, right, in the way that it does. V'yesh hanhaga hatoris l'mala min hativis. Then there's a hanhaga al pi Torah, which is l'mala min hateva. There's a way in which Hashem runs the world, which is not just the natural way that most human beings imagine the world to operate. There's a secret called a level of what? Of Torah, hanhaga. A guidance, a direction by way of the Torah, which is l'mala min hativis, sheratza kein ba'le ratzon mi'bereshis, that Hashem also wanted from the beginning of time, shebale haTorah yikvu itim al yidei hanhagas haTorah shelo ketava. That people who live with Torah can manipulate time, that they could change the time, that they could establish the times based on a hanhaga of Torah shelo ketava. Tzaddikim who could do things beyond nature, beyond the natural order. He quotes in parentheses, "Valzeh kasav admor Rav Yisrael from Kuznets, the Kuznets are Magid." The Avodas Yisrael. Shishoelin Asa'adam, one of the questions that were asked, of the six questions we're asked at the end of our life, Chavra, when we stand in trial before Hashem, is Kavata Itim L'Torah. The first way to answer that question is Kavata Itim L'Torah. Did I set aside time for learning? All right. Did I come to Shir? Okay, good, check. But Kavata Itim L'Torah on a deeper level means what? Kavata Itim L'Torah. Did you establish the times in accordance with the Torah? Did you see the world through a lens of Torah? Kavata itim. Whatever was happening in your times, were you koveya? Did you understand it? Did you establish it through the lens of Torah? Im kava itim bizman al pi hanhagas toraso shelo keteva. Did you see life as just being a natural, endless cycle, a predictable cycle that a non-Jewish scientist could also speak to? Or did you recognize that, wink, wink, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is peeking through? And that through the power of Torah, it's possible to overturn what appears to be the natural way of things. Ve'elu be'ez hanhagos near mazin b'teva zos. So these two ways of running the world are hinted to in the word zos. What's Zion? Zion, like we said, represents the 7 days of the week, the natural cycle of life. Going back to the 7 days of creation. Hainu ha-Zion meramezes lanhaga ativis shel Zion imibereshis. Zion represents the natural order that goes back to the 7 days of creation. And Aleph Tav, the 22 holy letters of the Hebrew alphabet, which make up our beloved Torah, Zos, Zion, represents the natural order. Aleph Tav represents Torah. Miram's in Al-Klal, a Torah. The Chof Beis Osvan, the 22 letters from Aleph Ad Tav, Shuan Haga HaToyris, Shalo Keteva, Hanuhuga Labale Torah. It's a system of living, of Torah, that is not in accordance with the natural order, the way that Bali Torah live their lives. And therefore, v'hinei ha-metzora im yirtza lisnaig v'teva. So a metzora, a person who has tzaras, if he chooses to see things naturally, shatzaras ba miribwe hadam al yidei maichalu mishta v'kedoma v'yavakish refua tivis. If he thinks that he contracted some type of, again, skin disease, top of the left column, from he ate a certain product or he drank a certain thing and something went wrong and now he's got, you know, some outbreak of some skin ailment. Lo nirpa adayin minigei hanefesh. So then he's not really dealing again with tzaras in a real way. Ki hinei b'bnei Yisrael hu asher lehem nesuna hanhaga ha-toyres shelo keteva. Because when a Jew sees something happening, even a physical something happening, he asks himself, what's the spiritual message? You stub your toe, what's the spiritual message? You win the lottery, what's the spiritual message? Whatever it is, good or bad. Something happens in your life, you have to ask yourself, what does Torah say about this? And the real fixing again is to try to ask yourself and to return to Torah in a real way, not to get lost in the superficiality of it. So says our Rebbe, that's the pshat. Zos tiyah. Toras HaMetzora. Zos Tiet Toras HaMetzora Biyom Taraso. Again, you want to really be solved, you want to really be healed and solve your illness. So Zos, remember this is such a reality. You choose. Are you a Zion Jew? Are you an Aleph Tetuf Jew? Shitzarech HaMetzora Lelamid Zos. Learn Zos. Shiyashnam Beis Hanhagos. Choose which path you want to live by. Ubnei Yisrael, Bnei Boneo Shel Torah, and we who are Bnei Torah, Kol Inyoneihem Shelo Keteva. Nothing about us is natural. That's what Pesach proved to the world, not just to us. There's nothing natural about being a Yid. Mameila Lo Yevakish Refuas Tivios. So when a person gets the Tzaras and he knows it's Tzaras, he goes to the Kohen. He goes to the Tzaddik. He doesn't go to the doctor. He goes to the Kohen. Rak Refuas Segulas HaTorah. He goes to the healing of the Torah and the Tshuva and the Tzaddik. Amirapes Kol Machal of a Chol Nega. That truly heals any illness and any disease. Umosefes Chayim Va'osher V'Kavod Lo'osa. And Torah gives life and wealth and honor to those who practice it, to those who live a life of Torah. Okay, I said we were going to do two pieces, but I want to do one tiny, just turn the page for 1 second, one last paragraph, a very small paragraph. Second to bottom paragraph on Kuf Lamed. V'hinei nirpa nega tzaras min atzura. I'll end with this. V'hinei nirpa nega tzaras min atzura. Good news, pasuk gimel, parak yudale, pasuk gimel. The Kohen comes, and he looks, and he sees, that what? V'hinei, and behold, nirpa nega tzaras min atzura. Parak yudale, pasuk gimel, behold, he's healed. Again, we already explained it once, that he's what? It's not just tzaras, it's nega tzaras, and it's min atzura, it comes from the person. This is a beautiful tefillah for us to daven over, just l'chavad Pesach. For Mashiach, which is coming today, look at this Torah. V'hinei nirpa nega tzaras min atzura. Omro v'hinei, eino tzodek l'chayra. The word v'hinei always implies that there's like a surprise. V'hinei, and behold, like suddenly. Usually it's a plot twist in the Chumash. V'hinei, and behold. Right? So what's the v'hinei over here? What's shocking? The Hayala Lomar Kinirpa should have just said he's healed. The Kohen comes and he looks and he sees the guy is healed. V'gam minatzarua miyusar. And again, the words minatzarua, as we asked above, we said before, is also seemingly extra. What's the pshat minatzarua? V'nira li akavana shiira Kohen kina davar b'teva. The Kohen sees that what? How do I know if this guy is really healed? How does Saras heal? The Kohen sees that this guy, he knows for sure that this is not a natural healing. He knows that it's a spiritual healing. You know how he knows? Rak v'hinei. V'hinei means, behold, suddenly, what happens? The Kohen comes to look at this guy, and on the spot, as the Kohen's looking at his saras, boom, gone. V'hinei. Right before his eyes. Kamuvan lemara einav. V'hinei, right before his eyes, suddenly, disappears. Karega. Yera shenirpa nega tzaras min atzarua. All of a sudden, the guy who was Minatzurah, not the guy who had Tzaras last week, and the Kohen comes to check, and he's like, oh, it's good to see that it disappeared. The Kohen shows up, and the guy literally is still at Tzaruah at that moment. And the Kohen comes to check, and the guy's hoping. He's like, oh, I'm trying to do tshuva. I feel like I didn't have a breakthrough. And he sees the Kohen coming down the road, and he's stopping him. Come on, Hashem, take it away. The Kohen shows up, V'inei, boom. That's it, gone. Minatzurah. Yeshua Hashem Keharafayim. That's how quickly Mashiach can come also. If we do real tshuva, like that, Kadosh Baruch Hu could snap his fingers, kiviyachol, and make it happen. No? Chavetz Chaim says that when Yosef reveals himself, what did he say? Two words, Ani Yosef, boom, like that, 22 years just became clear. 22 years of questions just were answered in two words, Ani Yosef. Chavetz Chaim says, Mashiach's going to come, Ani Mashiach, boom. Everything, solved. October 7th will make sense to us. I know that sounds impossible. Holocaust will make sense to us. Things we would never have the audacity to try to explain. All the suffering of Jewish history, like that. All of it's going to click into place. Our brain's going to open up. We're going to know. We're going to know the truth of everything. In a second. That's the chizuk of v'hinei. V'hinei, kamuvan lemare einav, kerega yera shenir b'neget tzaras min atzruah. Be'ozu tzaruah. He was still a mitzora. V'yera, and suddenly, shekarega nirpa. Suddenly he's healed. Ki akol bashkocha protis me'ez Hashem yizbarach v'lo b'teva. Because chavat tzaras is not what? Tzaras is not a physical illness. That, how you feeling? A little better today. That's good. Hopefully tomorrow you'll feel even a little better. Most diseases don't go like that and disappear in a second. But if you understand that tsaras is ba'amis, it's a spiritual illness, and you understand that real healing of tsaras, if it's really the nega tsaras has been removed, and a person comes back to a world of oneg, of delight and pleasure, of living with Hashem, of or with an aleph, so that takes tshuva, and that could happen in a second. Yeshua Hashem clarifying, gula could happen in a second. The decision of a Kodesh Baruch to flip the switch could happen in a second. It's a big chizuk. That's an important teaching. As we're sitting at the Seder, like, you know, another kazayas matzah, another cup of wine, another bit of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. All right, the night's going on. It doesn't look like anything's happening. You don't see the stars aligning. Just know, in a second, Hashem could, Yeshua Hashem clarifying, Hashem in a second could change our whole reality. And halavai, we should be Jews who are living with that Torah perspective and ready for it. Halavai. Okay. Yisher koach. Thank you. Thank you to our Rebbe, the Agudah Kala, for teaching us this beautiful Torah.